Elizabeth could not remember a time when she was more angry. What right had Darcy to tear apart two people who were so obviously in love? That night, she could not sleep and stayed home the next day when the Collins went on an errand in the village nearby. During the course of the morning, she received an unexpected visitor.
Mr. Darcy, this is a surprise. Won't you sit down?
In vain I have struggled. It will not do.
Sir?
You must allow me to tell you how ardently I admire and love you. I have fought against my better judgment, my family's expectations, the inferiority of your birth, my rank and circumstance. Despite all of this, I beg you end my suffering and to do me the honor of accepting my hand and becoming my wife.
In such cases as this, it is, I believe, the established mode to express a sense of obligation for the sentiments expressed. But I cannot. I have never sought your good opinion, and you have certainly bestowed it most unwillingly.
I might perhaps wish to be informed why, with so little effort at civility, I am thus rejected.
And I might as well inquire why, with so evident a design of offending, that you chose to tell me that you liked me against your will, against your reason, and even against your character. Was this not some excuse for incivility if I was uncivil?
But I...
I have every reason in the world to think ill of you.
What do you mean?
Oh, you dare not. You cannot deny that you have been the principal means of dividing my sister and Mr. Bingley from each other and involving them both in misery of the acutest kind. Can you deny it?
I have no wish of denying that I did everything in my power to separate them, or that I rejoice in my success. Towards him, I have been kinder than towards myself.
But it is not merely this affair on which my dislike is founded. Long before it had taken place, my opinion of you was decided. Your character was unfolded in the narrative which I received many months ago from Mr. Wickham concerning the misfortunes you inflicted upon him.
Misfortunes which I have inflicted?
Indeed. You have reduced him to his present state of poverty. You have done all this, and yet you can treat the mention of his misfortunes with contempt and ridicule.
And this is your opinion of me. My faults, according to you, are heavy indeed. But perhaps these offenses might have been overlooked had not your pride been hurt by my honest confession of the principles that had long prevented my forming any serious intentions. I am not ashamed of the feelings I related. They were natural and just.
Oh, really?
Could you expect me to rejoice in the inferiority of your connections? To congratulate myself on the hope of relations whose condition in life is so decidedly beneath my own?
You are mistaken, sir. If you suppose that the mode of your declaration affected me in any other way than sparing me the concern which I might have felt in refusing you had you behaved in a more gentlemanlike manner, you could not have made me the offer of your hand in any possible way that would have tempted me to accept it.
I see.
From the very beginning of my acquaintance with you, your manners impressed me with the fullest belief of your arrogance, your conceit, and your selfish disdain for the feelings of others. I had not known you a month before I felt certain that you were the last man in the world whom I could ever be prevailed upon to marry.
You have said quite enough, madam. I perfectly comprehend your feelings, and have now only to be ashamed of what my own have been. Forgive me for having taken up your time. And accept my best wishes for your health and happiness.